Everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually, episode 81 for the 24th of April, 2010. I am Dave McVeigh, and boy, we got a bit of a full house here today. So let's get these introductions going straight away so that we can move on. All right, so first of all, we are joined by Josh Philpott. Hang on, what's going on with this camera here? Squeeze in, guys. All right, we're joined by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
I'm fine. May I say, well done with the show notes. A lot of very, very, very interesting stuff in there.
It's going to be an interesting show. We're going to fly. We got a lot of stories, so we're going to fly through some of them pretty fast. But there's some interesting stuff in here, so we'll have a look. Dave Kosicki returns. How are you, Dave?
In the full house, I'll be playing John Stamos.
All right, Dave, you have to fill us in on the latest on this because I'm very curious. How is the volcanic ash affecting you at this point in time?
I do have a rash. I did try to have sex with the volcano.
I actually meant going to France.
Oh, not in any way, shape, or form. Sorry, hello.
So you're not going to France in any shape or form, or it's not affecting you?
It's not affecting me in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, very good.
I'm flying via Dubai, which is always the number one hotspot for a Jew to stop over on his way to Paris.
I was
Paris.
About to say, yeah.
Well, I'm going to rename it Dubai, which is going to be the amount of stuff I bring back with me. So it's going to be quite awesome. But
sorry, distracted by the fact that the camera is just inching over all by itself.
There we go. It's very spooky. It's an amazing thing.
So you're going via Dubai. Now, Dubai is actually a place that I have no interest in going to whatsoever.
You see, that's because you don't know, or maybe you do know but don't care, that there is no tax in Dubai.
Well, I don't care.
Which means then it becomes, as I said, Dubai.
Right.
And okay. I will be buying many, many things. But I've only got a couple of hours stopover on the way through.
So. Just don't do, have you heard this story, just don't buy an iPad, which you can't buy in Dubai anyway, but don't buy an iPad and try and go to Israel. Have you heard about this? Apparently, iPads are confiscated at the border of Israel because they use a slightly different standard on Wi-Fi, and they're claiming that the iPads actually damage their Wi-Fi networks.
Ha! Wow.
So what apparently happens when you, if you go to Israel with an iPad, they confiscate it at the border, they put it into storage for you, which you pay for, and then when you leave, they will give it back to you after you pay the bill.
No, yet another reason to not buy an iPad.
We'll come back to Apple in a minute. So you are leaving tomorrow as planned.
I am leaving tomorrow as planned, and I unfortunately will be missing the Platforms show on Monday.
Yeah, but you know what? I look at it and go, Platforms, Paris, Platforms, Paris.
It's funny because I looked at it the exact same
way. Yeah, exactly.
Or it was more like, Platforms? What is this Platforms?
What's this thing that I do that requires my time?
What is this? Will I Skype in? No, I'll be mid-flight, I think, or just arriving in Paris when the show goes out. I had a look at the time, so I don't think I'll come along. But
you're always here in spirit, though.
Thank you.
But we're going to move on from you right now because we've also got a fourth. Hello, Shane. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
That's good. You're going to have to get a little bit closer to your mic there, Shane. Now, Shane, for those who are only listeners to Geek Actually and haven't listened to Geek Actually Tech, Shane was one of our co-hosts on Geek Actually Tech. He's also, what do you refer to him as? The Stig? Is that right?
Yes, he is the Stig.
On platforms.
On platforms.
He's the moderator of the chat room, and he will be performing that service today, I believe, as well. But I'm not sure if I've actually made you a moderator. Have I on this chat room?
Yes.
I have. Good. Okay, so he'll also be moderating in the chat room at Nexus 81. So if you see Nexus 81, he is the hand of God.
And so, he will God.
That's right. So he's going to be.
Yeah. He will give you some divine retribution if you mess with us.
And because Geek Actually Tech has come to its season final, as we did last Wednesday, Tech has come back into Geek Actually in a slightly bigger fashion this week and will be slightly bigger. Because this is, of course, what are we here for? We are here for our Week in Geek, our study in geekiness, our anyway, never mind.
It seemed like you were building.
I was going to something,
and just like nah.
Yeah, no, I was going somewhere.
Been up since seven, so yeah.
And I've been up since seven. Now, yeah, if those who live in the eastern suburbs of Sydney, in particular Randwick, there was a car accident outside this morning, 7 o'clock in the morning. Major car accident. Actually, took out a bus seat, a tree, and a phone box before coming to rest.
The phone box
wrapped around another tree.
Yeah, the phone box is definitely the height of the crash, though.
It was so loud. It was literally across the road. If I put a camera out, you'll still see the wreckage out there. But it was so loud that literally my wife and I were out of bed. Like a shot. It was like, what the hell was that? You know? And came outside, and yeah, unfortunately, the man has died. And what caused the accident apparently is he had a heart attack and his foot hit the gas and just went floored it straight through. And
well, that takes out any funny joke I was going to
yeah,
make.
Yeah, no, we won't make light of the tragedy, but the pain in the ass of it is that the street outside has been taped off since 7 o'clock and it's now 12 and they're still holding back traffic. So anyway, so if we do start hearing bangs or loud crashes outside during the recording of this, they're trying to move the car now. I just noticed two tow trucks
or,
out there.
Or, yeah, with the, you know, explosion possibility imminent. If you hear a shit and then...
Yeah, because apparently the car is actually sitting on live wires because of the phone box. And so that's why they...
So is this show.
Yeah. All right. So what are we doing this week? In tech this week, we've got some little bites to get you started. How about we say Apple, bigger than Microsoft. Violent games make you smarter. And the iPad could cost you a finger, quite literally.
as opposed to Apple usually giving you...
Yeah, well, there you go. And entertainment, we have remakes, and Samuel L. motherfucking Jackson. All right, so later we'll review the new comedy Hot Tub Time Machine, which...
you said it normally.
I did, because you know what? Now I've seen it.
Okay.
There isn't that build-up to it now, so now I've seen it. Okay, so let's move ourselves straight into this, because we do have a lot to get through. And we're going to start off with some tech news. And the first thing we're going to say is... I've got to bring up the graphic, don't I? I really have to bring up the graphic. First thing I'm going to say is McAfee...
Booyah!
Proven buggy. All right. Basically, McAfee... Now, no self-respecting geek, I would hope, uses McAfee anyway.
I really hope my McAfee rip is not actually in the chat room, but they were basically like, hey, you know, you're new, we haven't seen you before. Here's a copy of, you know, McAfee 2010. I'm like, ha ha, great!
My netbook, when I bought my netbook, actually had a free copy of McAfee for, you know, a year subscription and the whole bit. First thing I did, uninstalled. Yeah. I took it off because, like, quite frankly, I've always thought of McAfee as a piece of junk, and it is crash computers. Well, it's taken it to a whole new level. Their latest update patch went through.
Gorgeous. Did you hear about this, Dave?
I actually read the show notes this time. I know, as amazing as that sounds.
Wow. All right.
and I would just like to say, wouldn't have had that problem with the Mac.
No, absolutely not.
You know what? I'll actually high five that.
And in fact, I'll actually go so far as to say you wouldn't have had that problem even if you had Vista or Windows 7. Apparently, it only affected Windows XP Service Pack 3, which are still an awful lot of people using.
Oh, what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot. A lot of important places and people,
yeah.
Actually.
So apparently, apparently, what happened was that this update went in and there was a bug in this particular patch that said... that if it recognized a file called
serverhost.exe,
to delete it because it was a virus. Well, anybody who knows anything about Windows knows that serverhost.exe actually controls all other services. When you hit Control-Alt-Delete and bring up the panel and you see all those things that say service, because service host actually runs all of those. And if you delete it, it can't boot Windows. And so basically people with XP machines just went into that spiraling blue screen reboot thing that Windows XP does. And let's see here. According to this article on news.com.au, it says that Rhode Island Hospital, the state's biggest, computer locked up and prompted personnel to divert the emergency room visitors without traumas to other hospitals. Kentucky State Police were told to shut down the computers in their patrol cars. A systems administrator for Illinois State University said when the first computer started rebooting, it quickly became evident there was a major problem.
I don't know. I'm still kind of terrified about the fact that the state troopers have shut down in Kentucky. You could just...
No, just the machines, which means they actually have to rely on...
No more video, more!
Oh, that is actually a really, really evil thought. So I hadn't thought of that.
There's a lot of mutants going up and down that street.
Does Rodney King remind you of anything? That's going to be $1,500 fine and a blowjob.
Brad in our movie in the Brad from the movie Fan House says in the chat room, "Hey, that's my home state. Watch it."
So, Brad, is there anything you wish to confess that happened to you on the way home when you got pulled over by that large white state trooper?
Now, with
on
the glasses, the reflective glasses. It's always that.
I'll take pleasure in gutting you, boy.
On the local front, we actually have our Kohl's supermarkets were affected. And they actually say that 10% of the company's cash registers, now, 10% of the company, there's an awful lot of Kohl's with an awful lot of cash registers. 10% is an awful lot of machines. How many? 1,100 registers went out with this bug across the Kohl's supermarkets, and many of the stores actually had to close because it was the majority of their registers.
See, I think this is a marketing ploy.
Go to Woolworths?
No, McAfee gives you 10% off at Kohl's.
Oh, man.
And there it is.
Apparently, at the time of writing, which was April 22nd, there were actually some Kohl's stores that were still closed. So it is, it's a pretty major bug. Basically, if you are using McAfee and you are on Windows XP and you haven't updated it yet, don't.
All right. If you don't like somebody, do.
Do, yeah. Update your Nana's computer. She'll love you forever.
That's not for you. Give me that bike for Christmas, Grandma. Click.
If you have a family member or something like that you don't particularly like, buy the McAfee for their birthday.
Absolutely. Yes, so I would actually say McAfee, bad call.
Unsubscribe.
All right, now.
Oh, man, Dave's going to love this one.
I love this graphic. All right, why do we have this graphic? Because according to standardandpoors.com, after the first quarter, the market share has come out. Apple is now officially a bigger company than Microsoft.
It's a proud day for Dave.
Before we actually jump up and down and declare them the absolute winner, Microsoft is crying foul.
They're just trying to take a bite out of the apple.
Oh. Microsoft is crying foul. They're basically saying that they have the S&P 500 is float adjusted and doesn't use the full market basis. Now, apparently Microsoft actually has a whole bunch of shares that they keep in standby that are purely for strategy purposes. They're not actually floated out on the stock market. And they're saying if you take into account those, we're a much bigger company.
So basically they're saying now that they have to use their reserve shares
just to get up to Apple. Now, to give you an idea, Apple is worth $241.5 billion, and Microsoft is worth $239.5 billion. So this actually makes Apple the second biggest company on the list, the biggest company being Exxon. So, good on you, Apple. You're the evil empire.
Well, yeah, I also want to know, I'm actually really interested to find out, now that those figures are out, when we actually find out what percentage of computers are now Macs.
Actually, still relatively low. Do you know why? Because according to another study which I read, which I don't have in front of me, according to that study, it actually said that 40% of Apple's business, 40% of their business was iPhone.
Yeah.
Another
56.8% is the iPod.
That's
right.
And
there's like 2% of computers.
The actual Mac market share worldwide is actually piss poor, and in America, I think it's at like 13% or something like that. So Mac computer percentages, their market, and it's growing all the time. Macs are growing like crazy.
Yeah, but it's been growing in a way that we haven't seen before over the last year.
That's right, so. And that's the thing. They've gone from something like 4% market share to like 13% market share in just the last 3 years or something like that. So it's been a
phenomenal. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, sorry.
It'd be interesting to see the level that it goes to with the introduction of the iPad, and once they start moving that into, I guess you could say, something a little bit beefier than just a fill in the gaps.
Yeah, well, the question is, and I've been saying this for a long time, how long until these iMacs with their glass screens go touchscreen?
That's true.
You know, that's I've been waiting for that. Since they introduced these glass screen aluminium iMacs, I've been saying, why aren't these touchscreen?
Do we also count these Macs that are running boot camp with Windows on them?
Well, and a lot of people are saying that the reason for the explosion in its market share is the Intel processors. It was the explosion of the compatibility between Macs and PCs and the Intel processor. The mindset changed. It was like a trigger was fired.
Yeah. And so are they counting it on PCs or operating systems?
What, this
The 10% or 13% or
whatever. That's on Mac sales. Yeah. Right. You remember Mac sales, it's kind of an odd situation because for them, they're talking about overall computer sales. Microsoft is talking about software, because Microsoft doesn't sell computers. But Microsoft sells a whole lot more software than they sell computers. So anyway, so I thought that was very interesting that Apple is actually now, just for a brief period, I don't think it's going to stay that way, but for a brief period, is considered the second biggest company in the world, which kind of really locks down its standings as the evil empire, or the growing evil empire. Now, also, to, on side note on that, iPad sales, 500,000 in the first, what, 3 weeks or something like that? Pretty massive. I mean, yeah, they've run out of stock. The rest of the world is waiting now. And they've locked it off for American users. You can't order more than four. If you've already bought four, they won't let you buy anymore. So it's
I can just see the whole family. Come on, kids. Time to get you four iPads each. Who do we make this receipt out to? eBay.
All right, this one is for you guys. It was for all of us, really, but this is for you guys in particular. Because
I love the way that you've worded the topic name. It's just, it's so angry.
Well, okay, for those who are in the chat room, in the show notes will reflect this too. It says, forget the brain training shit. Violent games like Call of Duty will make you smarter. Fuck yeah. And I said, do you think Michael Atkinson has actually read this report?
They won't make you employed, though, those games.
No. Well, according to this, this is what I thought was really interesting, because we've always heard the evils of video games. We've always heard about how it makes you a serial killer and, you know, and all this sort of stuff, right? According to a study that was actually done by Dr. Lorenzo Calzato of Leiden University Psychology Department, he says, shoot-to-kill video games improve quick thinking and make players more able to cope with the demands of modern life. Playing video games helps the natural reflexes. It makes players more responsible, more responsive, and able to switch between different tasks. It says, this type of thinking is very practical for the modern lifestyle where people are doing so many things at one time. He goes on to stress, you know, they may be checking their email, taking a phone call. They need to be flexible. People need to, oh, hello, shut up. That's like my ringtone. All right. So anyway, it basically says, take your phone call. They need to be flexible. Now, this is the part that I love, where it says, if someone likes violent video games, it does not mean they will engage in antisocial behavior. Parents should not be scared to let their children play video games. Last thing he says is if elderly people had a lot of problems with their thinking, they could play video games to improve their minds. This could become a common nursing home activity.
Oh, dude.
And it would become a successful strategy.
How awesome would it be to
awesome is that?
Battlefield with your grandma.
I like the real world applications, you know. I'm having an argument with this guy about my change. If only I had a rocket launcher, I could quick thinkingly deal with this.
Let me shove my chainsaw up your ass. Yes,
that's right. I can just see Atkinson already preparing his response to that, which is obviously the gamers have made a death threat to this scientist and coerced him into making this study applicable.
You wait, man. 2 years from now, when everyone has a, you know, an iPhone 4G, it'll just be standing in the middle of the street and you'll be like, you want to fight? You want to fight?
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, take it. Take it.
It'll be ad hoc gaming everywhere. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. All right, now to quote Sandra Bullock from The Blind Side, Josh, when the husband says to her, how did that feel coming out of your mouth? And she goes, like vinegar, right? The reason we say that is because Bill Gates actually made comment about the iPad. And what did Bill Gates say about the iPad? I quote, it's okay. And then he goes on to say, the scenarios aren't that clear, but it's looking good. It's a good looking. Steve Jobs does a good design, and the iPad is absolutely a good example of that. Wow!
And in the amount of time it took me to read this, I would have made enough to buy 500 of them.
Pretty much. Although, Apple's a bigger company than Microsoft.
I'm looking forward to the new release of Microsoft's XPad, which will be coming out.
No, what is Microsoft coming out? What is it, Josh? Windows Phone 7
Windows
Series.
Phone 7.
Series? Yeah. No, whatever. Anyway, they've got this new phone coming out with the Zoom software. Anyway, all right. So that was Bill Gates basically coming out and saying, yeah, it's all right. It's all right. Not a problem. So
our stuff is still good.
Kind of.
It's not pretty, but you can use it as long as you don't want anything to be backwards compatible ever.
And you don't use McAfee. All right. Now, this is actually a kind of a sad story. There is word that it, you know, buying an iPad will cost you an arm and a leg. Well, you know, quite literally, it might cost you a finger. Now, apparently a guy, Bill Jordan, in Cherry Creek Mall, in the Apple store, last Thursday went in to buy a new iPad, and he walked out of the store with his new, nice new purchase. And as he walked out of the store, a thief snatched the bag. As he was walking out. Now, the only problem was that the bag was actually wrapped around his fingers, and the thief grabbed it so hard, tore his finger off to the bone, and still got away with the goddamn thing. So the thief didn't even bother to stop to find out if the guy gushing blood all over the street was all right. Police
He'll
are,
have to uninstall that.
Yeah, I don't, like, I mean, I'm not trying to trying to say that shit's right, but if I was in that situation and the finger came off, I would run way faster because I'd be like, now if I stop...
Yeah, and I'd say, see this bone sticking out? Take that!
See, I can see again Apple using this as their marketing
campaign. The dog in the chat room has got, sweet, an iPad and a finger.
Oh, you could use the finger to actually operate that. Oh!
That's it, Dave, out.
Out. Oh.
Time out.
Time me out of my own show.
That's if you don't like getting, you know, your own finger smudges on the old iPad as you're using the
thing. Oh, dear.
So, I just timed
if
you
they
out
would
there.
Actually put, like, fingerprint recognition, you could have a different... Oh, this is terrible.
You're timed out, Dave.
We're moving on. This is terrible. All right, once more, this is for you guys. Modern Warfare 2, it is official. They made the Guinness Book of World Records now. It is the most successful entertainment launch of all time. We already knew this, but Guinness has now immortalized it. It actually made, the game took more than $400 million in 24 hours, which actually has set the record. Funnily enough, the two previous record holders were also games, which were...
Let's see, it would have been Grand Theft Auto 4.
That's one, and the one before that?
The other one would have been, was it Halo 3?
Absolutely, you read the show notes, didn't you?
I just tried to make it pretend that I was really smart
so,
and pulling it
congratulations.
Off.
We were there at launch for both of those, though, Dave, so we know this.
This is true.
Yeah.
I have to say, I'm very happy, and I hope that Modern Warfare 2 keeps giving them ridiculously expensive expansion packs and things like that so that they stay the fuck away from Battlefield Bad Company 2, because we don't want Modern Warfare players.
Fair enough. Word. Fair
that's,
enough
that's
indeed.
My rant.
Word.
Word. All right, we're going to move into entertainment news because, Dave, I'm so glad you're here. Because we have not had this statement since your last appearance, which was in Green Hornet news.
I told you it was getting made, Mister. I doubt this film.
Yes, but now it's been
made.
Delayed.
Of course it has.
And you know what? As far as I'm concerned, now that I've read this piece of news, I have no interest in seeing it at all. Because why has it been delayed, Josh?
It's been delayed because they're making it in 3D.
Up-converting the goddamn thing to 3D, and I really have no interest in up-conversion after seeing Clash of the Titans, because Clash of the Titans looked terrible.
It did.
The 3D was awful, and if I do end up going to see Green Hornet, which I probably will because we've mocked it so much,
Well, it is a benchmark in entertainment.
That I will have to go see a 2D.
See Twilight, I can't imagine that it'll... Green Hornet will be anywhere.
Okay, Twilight's still a phenomenon, man. I didn't make the rules.
Oh, yes.
All right.
You did. It's your show, damn it.
In all preparation right. for what's going to happen when the third one comes out, I recently put Celine through both the movies, one
yes.
after the other. I think we might have broken her.
I actually looked at her Facebook postings after that. Wow. Yeah.
Was it just like Josh, we're no longer friends?
No, I think
she
was something like
she
something like I now
out,
I now
I know why.
What did she say? I now know what assisted suicide feels like or something like that. It was really rough. She was really rough about it. No, she said now I know how rape victims feel.
I don't think that she was tough enough. I think that's quite light in comparison to what I feel.
Well, hey, there's another one coming, so give it time.
That's all right. I can give almost guarantee I won't be on that show.
Brad, can you clarify? Brad in our chat room is just sort of, yeah, I think iTunes had the preview. Preview of what?
They've got first release trailers out for it already. Or
of the new one? Yeah. We played it on the show. Oh, Brad, where have you been? We played it on the show like 3 weeks ago.
What? The Eclipse one?
The Eclipse one. Remember
we played that on the show?
Yeah, I remember that was the one. One of my favorite moments. I said, here's the surprise trailer for you guys. I put it on, Josh, you can just hear Josh mumble in the background. He goes, I hate you so much right now. All right, I'm going to start this next story off with a clip. So let's have a look at this, guys.
Good morning. Did you sleep well?
Fine.
Good.
Please stop that.
Hobson, how good to see you.
Thank you so much. I've taken the liberty of anticipating your condition, and I have brought you orange juice, coffee, and aspirins. Or do you need to throw up?
No. Gloria, I would like you to meet Hobson, my best friend in the world.
I relish the compliment. It's thrilling to meet you, Gloria.
Hi.
Hi.
You obviously have a wonderful economy with words, Gloria. I look forward to your next syllable with great eagerness. Yes. As we can all see, it's a lovely day, which would seem to indicate that the night is over. Gloria, I have arranged breakfast for you on the east patio. This is a robe. Say goodbye to her, Arthur.
All right, so why am I playing a clip from Arthur? And if you haven't seen Arthur, Arthur is a very fun film indeed.
I was hoping it to be the other one, the one where Bo Derek runs around half naked.
Bo Derek's not in Arthur, dude.
I know. That's why I said I was hoping it was the other one.
All right, so Arthur is a very funny film, basically about a millionaire who's a complete playboy and doesn't take anything seriously in his entire life and falls in love with a commoner, played by Liza Minnelli. Dudley Moore played Arthur. And Sir John Gielgud won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor as his manservant, Hobson, and he was genius in it. Now, the reason we bring this up is because the first of our remake news, Arthur is being remade. Russell Brand is taking on the Arthur role.
But really? Really?
Yeah.
Playboy this, guy this with like a drinking.
Yeah, it sounds like a train wreck. We actually heard about this a while ago. Russell Brand was being groomed for this and everything. But the news came out this week that Helen Mirren is in final negotiations to play his nanny, or the Hobson character. And that I'm excited about, because I think Helen Mirren has just about got the caustic enough feeling to get
what's
this across.
From?
Really?
Helen Mirren. Helen Mirren, where is she from?
Names, faces.
Bond, oh, actually, James I
Bond,
actually.
M.
No,
oh,
no,
no, no.
That's
no,
Judy Dench. Oh, no, the other one. I was
that's not what I want. Where is it? I've actually got a picture of her for you. There we go. Helen Mirren. There you go. Helen Mirren was, she played Queen Elizabeth in The Queen. She was a star of Prime Suspect for
she
many
looks
years.
Different there.
See, I want Judy Dench now.
Judy Dench would be also really good.
I had that
good.
In my head for some reason when I was looking at
it. Helen Mirren is actually went down in the history books, I think it was 2 years ago or last year. I can't remember the exact year, but she actually won the Oscar for playing Queen Elizabeth II in The Queen, and she also won the Golden Globe for playing Queen Elizabeth I in Elizabeth I on television. So she actually did the hat trick on Queens. So,
nice.
But she is an awesome actress.
She was in Prime Suspect, wasn't it?
She was Prime Suspect. Yeah. She was in the American remake. She played the Bill Nighy character in the American remake of State of Play.
Which is so vanilla compared to
it is, but she was really good. She was good. She was actually probably one of the best things in it, actually, quite frankly. Bill Nighy was better. But
his comic timing and the pauses that he had were just, I don't know, I got a lot more out of that being a journalist.
Helen Mirren also has absolute respect from me because she came out of Caligula. I mean, she was in Caligula with Malcolm McDowell and Peter O'Toole and Sir John Gielgud, funnily enough. And when she was asked about it, I loved her response because she actually said, you know, with all the nudity and everything else, she basically, they said, you know, why did you do it? And she goes, look, everybody else, she goes, you know, Malcolm and everybody else, they'll go, it was for the art of it, and it was this, and it was a porn film, basically. Mm. And she basically said, I needed the money. And I thought, you got points for that.
Yeah, she's honest, at least.
Honest, and she's also really honest about her past. She's honest about her drugs. She's honest about, I mean, she's so down to earth. She's a really, really amazing woman. And she's also another great lesson to all those young aspiring actresses out there going, oh, I went to nudity because it'll affect my career. She's taken her clothes off more often than any other actress in history, all the way up into her 50s. She was in Calendar Girls, where she still flashed her boobs. So, you know, it's like, good on you. You know, she doesn't care. You know?
Note to Megan Fox, Scarlett Johansson, and Jessica Alba.
Absolutely.
I think more importantly, when we're on the subject of Megan Fox, this is...
She was in National Treasure 2. That's right. She played the mother.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Oh, my God.
This is further proof to me that, you know, people that actually make that statement, basically, it's not going to help your acting career, sweetie. It usually means the opposite. It means that it comes first, that you worried about people seeing your boobs instead of acting.
Yeah, absolutely. And Meryl Streep flashed her boobs as well. You know, I don't think it's hurt them, you know? Mm. But anyway.
But these are all boobs you're mentioning that I don't want to see.
Helen Mirren's got great boobs. When she was younger in particular. Wow. When she did Excalibur in 1981. Holy moly.
1981. It's 29 years ago. 1981.
Yes. All right. And we'll be back talking a lot more about the 80s a little bit later on. All right, guys. I've got a question for you. One question. Really simple. Do you think Kristen Stewart...
No,
has the same
no,
sex appeal no, as Angelina Jolie.
I don't even care what we're talking about.
Can I ask a question? What is it with Kristen Stewart? Does she just sit there? She just looks perpetually pissed off and disinterested.
She's an emo girl.
She's just like,
She's a complete emo girl that shows no emotion. She's dead in the eyes. I have no idea why this girl is popular.
It would be like fucking a corpse.
I got to pay that, though. I got to pay that.
I've seen every interview, and I still remember, like, I was trying to find redeeming features when we were watching Twilight as I was stabbing myself in the crotch with an ice pick constantly.
He was.
And when I looked at her, I was like, okay, she's kind of cute, you know, and everything. And then every interview, she's there, she's like, yeah, it's great. And phenomenal. And everyone's like, woo, yeah. And you think her face is made out of porcelain, and it will crack if she smiles.
Brad in our chat room said she was good in Adventureland. No, she wasn't. She was Kristen Stewart in Adventureland. Adventureland was actually, granted, a very good film. I enjoyed it. But
she looks like
she was just Kristen Stewart. She's never done anything different. There's no life to the girl at all. Her eyes are dead, you know?
Mm. I actually think that she's a robot. I don't think she's a real person. I think that she's... Or she's a failed cloning experiment.
And look at Wanted, and I just say, in Wanted, Angelina Jolie is sex on legs, all right? Mm. Forget the fact whether she can act or not. Who cares? She's sex on legs, you know? And okay, so granted, the future of Angelina Jolie in Wanted 2 still hasn't been determined. But Kristen Stewart is being talked about as being a replacement to not the character, but the strong female lead, right? No! She doesn't fit strong.
She's action, and she's not that kind of
If she
of
stays
hot.
In character... What she'll do is she'll start the movie by killing herself. And that'll be a fantastic
movie. She'll just bend that bullet right backwards.
She'll just throw it in the room. She'll just do what Angelina did at the end of the first Wanted film and just top herself. And I will roar.
I will buy
80,000 tickets to Wanted.
There is the pre-credit sequence to Wanted 2.
Yeah. Maybe that's how they're planning to make it.
And then we can move on from there. But apparently, she's in negotiations. And I just look at that and go, yeah.
Then we'll put like Scarlett Johansson in or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, that'll be better.
I'm happy with that.
Dudes, sad day. Sad day, sad day. Because...
I hate this one.
Hold on, which one are we on?
Bummed.
Oh, yeah, that's I am in the right ballpark. So I hadn't turned the page. I'm kind of going from memory here. I'm kind of bummed out. For those who have seen... the parodies of Downfall on YouTube, which I absolutely love. And I've got to say, my favorite two, I think, are one, the rollout of Vista, where he's going on about how Vista is crashing and he's yelling at all his generals, basically saying, how could you roll it out before it was ready? You know, and all this stuff. And the other one, which I think quite possibly almost made me wet myself, which is where he's trying to find Wally. Which is quite possibly one of the funniest things I've ever seen. But I have a clip here. Now, for our audio listeners...
For everyone else as well, check out the iPad one before it...
Okay, now I haven't seen the iPad one, so I'm going to have a look at it. Now, just for our video viewers, I've actually got a clip. Now, we're not going to play very much of this because it is in German. The joke of this show is the subtitles. So if you're not seeing the subtitles, you're not getting the joke. But just so that you know what we're talking about here, I'm going to leave the mics open for this. Here's a clip from the one with the Kanye West Center.
The Feind operiert jetzt am nördlichen Stadtrand zwischen Frohnau und Pankow. Und im Osten ist der Feind bis zur Linie Lichtenberg-Marsdorf.
This is where we take the Jews to Disneyland.
Mit dem Angriff Steiners wird das alles in Ordnung.
I can't wait to see her acceptance speech.
And they all look concerned.
Führer, Steiner...
Kanye West.
Steiner konnte nicht.
Kanye West jumping off on stage and ruined his speech.
Hey man, you're doing a good job, but I hate to interrupt you, but I'm going to have to say that
he claims to be on.
He did a much better idea and had a much better turn at reading the subtitles than you, man. I'm sorry.
I love that serious.
I like the shaking of the hand as he's taking off the glasses.
All right, so we're going to stop that now because, of course, it's gripping.
Find them.
It's gripping listening for the audio listeners, but find them because the reason we say find them is because they are being taken down.
Bastards.
Constantine Films, who produced the film, is basically claiming copyright infringement. Even though they've been going for 2 years, they've been doing this. They're claiming copyright infringement, and they're taking them down at a rate of knots. They're basically saying, how dare you do this to our films, and blah, blah, blah. Because they're saying that, you know, it's hurting sales of Downfall. I doubt this is happening. But anyway, the point is that they are very funny. And the funny thing that's happened recently is that more are going up faster than they can take them down. At the moment, there's a whole bunch of them, which are all Hitler's reaction to the fact that Constantine Films is taking down the parodies, which is just a killer. But what I found the most interesting part of this whole story was the fact that the director of the film himself, Oliver Hirschbiegel, basically said, quote unquote, "Someone sends me the links every time there's a new one. Many times the lines are so funny, I laugh out loud, and I'm laughing about the scene that I staged myself. You couldn't get a better compliment as a director. I think it is only fair if now it's taken as part of our history and used for whatever purposes people want." And I just look at that and I go, good on you. But the problem is, Constantine Films doesn't feel the same way, and they're pulling them down. So, sad day, because really they are very, very funny. Very, very funny indeed. And if you can, look for the Hitler can't find Where's Wally, which is just brilliant. it is a sensational one. All right, so... okay. Now this one, we're gonna change the order just a little bit here, because we've got text after text after text. I'm gonna play a clip here for Josh. Now Josh wasn't here when we did the trailer for Nightmare on Elm Street, and they've since just released a clip. Mm. So this is actually just a short clip from the new Nightmare on Elm Street remake, which actually gives you an idea of what Jackie Earle Haley is doing with the voice and so forth. So it's not very long. So here's just a clip. It's not a trailer. It's actually a clip from the film.
Little Nancy. All grown up.
You're just a nightmare.
That's right. No one can prove I was ever here.
Who are you?
You don't remember. You must. You're my number one.
I set an alarm.
Yes, you did. In your dream.
Okay, so Josh, what do you think? You're the man who's the horror expert around here.
I think it looks horrible.
Really?
Yeah. No, I just, like, number one, it takes away, it's a totally different look at what Freddy is, and Freddy was always very sort of fired up, he was very sort of in your face, and there was almost a comedic nature to him, you know, like, even when he's
not in the first film, though. In the first film, he was actually quite sinister. The comedy came later.
No, I still get it. No, okay, yeah, the comedy came later, but there was still that whole thing that he never takes it, like it was never him being like, rah, in the face. He always had that kind of, I'm going to make you, you know, like, kind of like a devilish kind of playfulness to him, and that's been right the way through the series. Like, I agree with you, it was a lot less in the first one, but this is trying to take it 100% dark.
Serious. Yeah.
And it just does not play out easily. And also, I have to say, the voice doesn't come across.
That sounds
as
like
powerful.
Rorschach, unfortunately.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, I love Jackie Earle Haley. And, look, I'm still going to go watch it. But, I mean, I have a predisposed fear of this movie because I didn't think the Friday the 13th movie was very good either.
Oh, Friday the 13th was awful.
Yeah, so I think that they're going to do that with this one as well. And look, I mean,
I quite liked the second trailer that came out. I thought they were heading in the right direction. I thought, wow, this is actually looking a lot better than their previous efforts. But yeah, no.
No.
Thanks, Dave.
Sorry,
we got a back and forth in the chat room. Who is it that actually said it? Yeah, no, Brad. Brad from
he was doing Rorschach's Journal, October 12th, 1985. Tonight, a comedian died in New York.
And so Davis responded with
Rorschach's Journal, April 24th, 2010. Tonight, my career died in New York.
Actually, you've actually put 12,000. Okay. All right.
It looks terrible. I mean, look, you guys know I'm not a huge horror fan, but I did enjoy the first Nightmare on Elm Street, and there was something really different about the Freddy character. Ooh. And there's just, I don't know if they're trying to do it in the vein of what it is, or if they're going for this, you know, more, I guess you could say, torture porn-esque kind of vibe. I don't know if they're trying to distance
themselves. Yeah, no, I do get that.
But it just, it doesn't feel like a Nightmare on Elm Street to me. I mean, look, I, as I said, I won't be seeing this movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not looking that good, man. That, well, if that's what they're showing to try and get you excited about it, it's not a winner.
No, absolutely not. Shane and I both have watched these movies ad nauseum, and Shane actually owns the full box sets. Shane, what do you reckon, man?
Yeah, Dave's right. It does sound like Batman a bit.
I did. I did snicker at that when he said that.
No, but if it doesn't have the original actor who plays Freddy,
Robert Englund. Yeah.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel the same.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I give him credit for trying to take it in a different direction, but I think Platinum Dunes has to learn that there's a certain element to horror. That especially coming out of the 80s,
that they don't understand.
Well, that they're missing. I'm sure that they, you know, enjoy it and they probably understand it. I mean, I don't think these people are stupid.
Yeah, but let's look at their track record. They have not released a film yet where we've gone, that's a decent film. Platinum Dunes is a laughing stock.
Yeah, you know? Because Platinum Dunes creates like a violent
Cook of production companies.
it's actually a very good statement, Dave. They really come across. And they go, we want to take the original movies and take all of the substance out of it and just make it gory.
Brad from Movie Fanhouse has said in the chat room, it is from Platinum Dunes that is the problem, not Jackie.
No, absolutely not. Dude, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm not hating on his performance. I'm actually very curious to see
what
he does with it. Look, I mean, that scene is just one scene. And, you know, like on screen and when it's not a tiny little YouTube video and it's on the big screen, he may be very fearful. And I will judge his acting ability based on that. But we'll see.
Yes, absolutely. So, look, I'll be curious to see where this is going to go. I'm sitting on the fence because I look at it and I go, the trailer actually excited me more than, say, the Friday the 13th trailer did or the Texas Chainsaw Massacre trailer did. This one actually, I went, oh, that actually looks like they may have gotten it right. But I just at the same time, I sit there and go, their track record is awful.
He's giving up more of a creepy pedo vibe than I'm about to serial kill.
But
that could actually work for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Dave's actually brought that up. That is an interesting point. Theoretically, if we actually think
he is a creepy
pedo.
He
is a creepy pedo. So, you know, like maybe it'll work. Maybe. I'm just saying the scene itself didn't excite me. That's all I'm going to say.
And that's fair enough. How about if I actually say to you that David Goyer can't decide what sort of writer he actually is? Because in 2006, David Goyer came out with this quote in an interview, which I actually watched the interview, and you can find the interview on /film. He basically said, in the case of Blade, now for those who don't know, David Goyer wrote Blade and was also co-writer on Batman Begins. He said, in the case of Blade...
That's how vampires die.
He said, in the case of Blade, he is acting heroically, but the rest of the world thinks he is a vigilante, as is the case with Batman. I don't think I'd be good to write Superman because it is the opposite. Basically, the interviewer at that point said to him, is that because he's angst-free? And he says, yeah, and I wouldn't know the angle because I'm so angst-ridden, so I wouldn't know what to do with a character like that. Why do I bring this up? Because 2 weeks ago, we actually reported that he's one of the writers on the new Superman film. So it's like, what the hell's going on? So no. 4 years ago, he couldn't write Superman, and now he can?
Or maybe he's taken a different look at it.
Maybe.
There's a possibility in my
But it's
eyes.
A very good point. Superman is angst-free.
Movies have changed a lot in the last couple of years, especially superhero movies. I mean, as a writer, I could quite possibly say, like, there are things that I've sat there and gone, there's no way I could ever write it. But then if somebody walked up and said, you know what, here's $20 million, I was like, maybe I could give it another shot.
And I could see that logic, but apparently, in the case of Goyer, he approached them. Because he said, I've come up with an angle for Superman that might work.
Well, I think he probably was looking for a new challenge. I mean, you know, there's nothing more refreshing than writing something completely opposite to what your character is, and it gives you a chance to delve in. Sorry, I'm not trying to be like one of those crafts.
No, absolutely.
Please,
I agree with this.
But whenever you, just for a very small example, a couple of years ago when I started writing, I was doing a certain type of game, and especially working for Penthouse, anything that's got sexual overtones are the type of games that I get reviews straight away for, on movies and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I was approached by a friend of mine and said, I'm doing a kids magazine on video games. I want you to write some articles for it. And it was the most satisfying thing I've done in a long time, because you have to completely change your approach and you have to challenge yourself. And that's what I'm kind of looking at here. That's the feeling I get from it. He's probably sat there and gone, okay, I've done brooding, dark, all of this. Let's bring some of that. I'm sure he's got some sort of dark angle to it, but bring it to a traditional Boy Scout character that Superman is, and give it a different direction with all of the dark reworkings that they're doing at the moment, because, you know, like Iron Man is still very dark, and you know, obviously Dark Knight and stuff like that. You're looking at what I'm hoping is the first Superman movie that goes beyond the campiness. I'm hoping that they do for, he does for Superman what Nolan did for Batman.
Actually, no, I would actually go so far as to say I'm hoping what he'll do for Superman, what Favreau did for Iron Man. Because I think Nolan's Batman is too dark for Superman. Superman doesn't go that far. Mm. But you could do what Favreau did for Iron Man to Superman.
Exactly. Like, take out the campness and make it a really
play it straight.
Story. Exactly. Like, I mean, it's so simple to just, like, take the camera away from some of the most unnecessary parts of Superman. His clothing doesn't need to be neon fluorescent colors. No.
And in fact, the one thing that I will say about Superman is it's time. It is time, guys, that Superman gets an opponent that he can wail on. We need to see superpowers. We need to see Superman.
Look, he needs to go against, like, Doomsday, Brainiac, Metallo, Bizarro. Who fucking gives a shit?
As long just as someone, he can wail on them.
Yeah,
you know?
Just somebody he can punch rather than sit there and go, well, I'd like to punch you because I have
power. We've never seen a Superman
world,
yet
but.
Where we've actually seen Superman. You know,
maybe
Superman 1. Well, I was about to say Superman 1 with the saving of the earthquake, the blocking of the dam.
It was because he could wail on Zod and the other guys.
Superman 2 was just so stupid, though. That was the problem. It fell so far into camp that, I mean, the whole thing.
That's Terrence Stamp's fault.
No, I actually blame Richard Fleisch. No, was that Richard Lester? Richard Lester took it. He brought all that comedy. And so, yeah, the stuff where he's wailing on Zod is great fun. But then they keep cutting away, showing the guy on the roller skates in the wind and the stupid comments coming out of people's mouths on the street. And you sit there and go, oh, God, this is just so... Why?
What about...
And the beams coming out of their fingers and the cellophane,
completely useless cellophane.
And I love it with the and then the multiple versions. He goes, "Don't worry, we used to play this as kids. You were on Earth. You didn't grow up on Krypton." You know?
I think the best rip they did on that was in Family Guy, where he's just standing there and they're like, "Haha, I'm gonna get you," and he pulls out the cellophane thing from his chest and throws it, and the guy's like, shh, he falls down for like 2 seconds and it disappears. And he's like, and Superman's like, "Yeah." Yeah, take that.
He's like, wow, like, that was
like a minor inconvenience. Like, well, what are you talking about? Like, yeah, won't do that again, will you, buddy? Yeah, it's one of those things. I think Kevin Smith and Brad was touching on it in the chat room, but Kevin Smith said it quite perfectly when he was talking about Superman Returns, and he was just like, "We get it, he's Christ. We get it." And he's like, he said, I don't mind Superman. He's the most powerful being in the DC universe. We just want to see him fucking hit something.
That's right.
And it really is. It is just.
We need.
Like,
yeah, that. I think you're right. I think we need Metallo, or in particular, I think we need Doomsday.
We don't need an origin.
We've done the origin.
And to be honest, I'm so sick and tired of origin film. Every time they reboot something, it's like, so I got to wait 4 years.
I'm really excited about Iron Man 2, because we've done the origin now. Same director, same writing team, same everything. Let's get into it.
Let's step up the
stakes. Plow straight into the action
and make it a good.
And see Iron Man do something. You know,
I'd like to see Superman versus vampires. I think Goya would be perfect for that. Then, or maybe you could take
Superman
on
Blade team up. And we'll get Wesley Snipes back into it as well.
Is he out of jail?
Yeah,
Superman can break him out of jail.
Is Wesley Snipes out of jail, or was he just given a day pass? Because he came out and did a film. And somebody actually heard somebody saying that he may have just been out for the film and then gone back
in. Look, that could be the perfect start, because you had, like, in Superman 3, Richard Pryor was like a crim and a con man. So you could have Superman, you know, the new Superman, he breaks out Blade and, you know.
Superman 3.
Yeah, that was
going on the gloriously special. Wonderful bad list. It's actually on the list. It's on the honorable mentions at the bottom. Oh man, what a spectacular film! All right, we're going to move on. That's the other thing for the after shows that are going to start up this week as well. That'll also give us an opportunity to really start tackling some gloriously wonderful bad list stuff.
Dude, we have some fucking
coming up. All right, so let's finish off this news so we can get into this review. First of all, Samuel L. Jackson, Marvel pays him for a reported 9-picture deal. Right? One of the biggest contracts, not money-wise, but time-wise. 9 pictures so that the Nick Fury character can go through all of the Marvel universe and all the things, and then it turns out he's not in Thor. What? You've already paid the man. Why wouldn't you just write in a walkthrough cameo or something just so that you could have
him there? Probably because 9 is costing them enough.
Yeah, but he's already been paid for them.
Yeah, but maybe there are another nine that they're planning.
All right,
we're going to see how this Avengers thing pans out with Joss Whedon before we focus too
according
much
to,
on some Norse god.
Thing. According to a Q&A that he was actually part of, he actually said that, you've talked about doing nine films as Nick Fury, and it would be a gradual road before you get, a Nick Fury film? And how has that journey been? And he said it got started with Iron Man 1, blah, blah, blah. And he said he's going to be in Iron Man. He's got a substantial part in Iron Man 2. He's not in Thor, and he's supposed to do Captain America in the summer. And then they asked, why aren't you in Thor? And he goes, I have no idea. He goes, I'm not in charge of making the decision. He goes, I thought I was. They said I was in the trades, and I was like, oh, I've got a job. And then I called my agent, and he said, nah, you're not in it.
It doesn't look Aryan enough.
And so... And then he says, and then he actually went on, and I love this quote. This is only Samuel L. Jackson could say. He goes, I was like, well, shit, they need to pay me just because they put my name on it. Anyway, so this is Sam Jackson. As for our chat room, there he is Nick Fury for you.
Oh, yeah.
He actually does go on and say, this is the part that I thought was interesting for all the comic book fans out there. He actually said, do you have any desire to campaign for your own Nick Fury film? And he actually states, The Avengers... is my own starring vehicle.
Which scares the crap
For that character, pretty much, he says. So
now, I used to collect the Avengers. I remember Nick Fury being part of the Avengers.
But the Avengers movie is based on Ultimate Avengers, which is Nick Fury put the team together. And
really?
they basically work for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay, that sounds super
And this is why I don't like Ultimates. Anyway, now the last thing that I thought was very interesting for that, though, because, of course, the Avengers have been, is it happening, isn't it happening, Joss Whedon's, is he hired, isn't he hired, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, basically, he says they start in February. So they have a shoot date. So,
oh, there you go.
So they start in February.
Wow.
So it is going ahead. It is going to, so it's only a year away.
He will bring to the role Nick Fury and tremendous anger.
Also, the other thing is, as a comic book fan, Dave, you're going to help me out here because you're a comic book fan, too. Nick Fury. White dude, gray hair on the sides, eye patch. Nick Fury was very iconic.
Did you ever see the awesome Nick Fury TV series?
No, I didn't.
Made?
I heard about it, though.
David Hasselhoff as
Nick
Fury.
Oh, no.
Oh,
yeah.
I want to see it. With the Hoff with a fucking
Anybody
patch.
In the chat room, if you have a copy of this TV series,
man, it is
put it on
so,
disc and send it to us.
So fucking bad. It is awesome. It is. I don't even have words. Like, look, I can understand.
Does it rate up there with the red, brown Captain America TV movies, though? From
see,
the 80s.
Those were awesome. Though.
Where he wore the motorcycle helmet.
I love that. And the fucking shield was see-through. And
it was so tacky. Did you see, back in the early 90s, they actually made a pilot to the Justice League of America? And it had Green Lantern, and it had Martian Manhunter, played by David Ogdensteers. And Dave talked to me afterwards. I have it, all right? So that I can show you. It is awful.
Look, I think that I think Sam Jackson would be great in a S.H.I.E.L.D. movie. I think that there's enough weight. People wouldn't know much about it, but I think that there's enough of an interesting story.
But they're
story.
Introducing them in Iron Man, though, so...
Well, that's what I mean. I think that there's an interesting thing for it. I don't think it's going to work in the Avengers, though. I mean, it's Joss Whedon, so I'll fucking watch anything that guy does.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, I don't know. I'm not feeling...
I also have a whole
confident.
Bunch of new hope for Captain America, because Joss Whedon's taking a pass over that script as well, so...
Yeah, well, when they put... I can't remember his name. Chris Evans. And the fact that he got the lead really, really works for me because he plays the ultimate American cheese dick. Mm. And I mean, he's man. If you all you got to do is watch not another teen movie, and he is a young Steve Rogers running through that. I mean, take away the context. You know what I mean? He looks the part. And you know, because we couldn't get Captain Awesome from Chuck.
As long as it looks better than this.
See, I would still go and see it.
This is sorry for the audio listener. I brought up a picture of the Green Hornet.
Not showing
movie.
Here. Seth Rogen smoking weed.
And I just look at it and I just go, it just looks so tacky. It just looks so tacky. I'm sorry. Have I told you that I still don't think this film is ever going to come out?
I'm looking forward to you eating those words. I'm sure it'll be a shit film when it comes out.
You are on the show. That show.
No doubt. No doubt. There is actually one bit of news that I'm surprised nobody's mentioned this week, which I just thought I'd bring up since we are in the entertainment section. But Guru from Gangstar died this week.
What?
Yeah. I don't know if anyone...
Of what?
Apparently he's been in a coma since February. And he had some, I can't remember the type of disease. I think it's some form of cancer. I'm not trying to glib over it. But I found out about this a couple of days ago, and I was pretty rocked by it. Because, I mean, he was a stand-up, you know, really classy sort of a guy in the local industry, and I just thought it deserved mention.
Well, I'm glad you, because I don't tend to go through the music news, so it's good that you brought that up, because, that's... Well, that's brought a downer on the evening.
No, not at all. Let's talk about the last two.
Today, right. Known as Buzz Killington.
All right. Now, I've got one. I've actually got a clip here, guys, that is not in the show notes. And if we have time, we might explore it. But I don't know if we've got time for it. If not, we'll do it next week. But I actually
In the after show.
We've got time. We've
or
got
in the after show.
Time machine.
Or in the after show. I've actually got a clip from the new Robin Hood film. Not the trailer. I've actually got a clip from it. So so we might look
or
at that
maybe
later.
We won't
but
look
before
at
that.
It later.
But before that, all I got to say is, oh, fuck! Escape from New York is actually going to happen. I was really hoping that the thing would collapse and die.
I just see them putting in someone like Chris Evans or something like
Chris
that.
Chris Evans will be the only actor working in Hollywood. He'll be in everything.
I don't have a problem with that.
All right, so for those who haven't been keeping up with the news, they've been trying to remake Escape from New York, which is, of course, the classic John Carpenter film, which holds up today, and I love Escape from New York. And, in fact, I almost got the DVD out and watched it last night, but I was busy doing other things.
I have it on Blu-ray.
Oh, but I've got the special from America. It's got all the collector's stuff, and it's beautiful. Anyway, the point is that they've been talking about this friggin' remake, and all I could think is no. And it's collapsed several times. In fact, at one point, it actually had Len Wiseman, director of Die Hard, Live Free or Die Hard, Die Hard 4 for the Australian listeners, signed and Underworld, and he was signed on to direct it, and it had Gerard Butler? Yeah, Butler was attached to star as Snake Plissken, and it was all go, and then it all just collapsed. And so we keep hoping that this thing will just keep collapsing. Well, looks like it's finally going ahead. Apparently, Overture Films has really been fast-tracking this thing into production. They really want to make it happen. And they've hired Breck Eisner to actually now direct it. Now, Breck Eisner is the director who did The Crazies, the remake that just came out recently to great critical acclaim, even though box office was... But, yeah, critical acclaim. It got a lot of critical acclaim, though. also, Eisner also directed... Probably one of those little unsung films which I actually quite enjoyed, against all better judgment, and I think you did too, Dave. Sahara.
No, I didn't enjoy.
You didn't enjoy Sahara?
I liked Sahara.
I like Sahara. I thought Sahara was fun.
But mind you, that's because as a kid, I read the Dirk Pitt Adventures, so
I just want all you to see my washboard abs. And here I am. Look at his face. And here I am with Steve's on.
You take some of my blood, but right. I'll be your Christ.
That's right. I'll be Christ like, and you know, it's the old Matt with your glorious abs and flowing locks of hair.
Anyway, so Breck Eisner has been. Brad, what the hell are you talking about? What do you mean no one likes it? Go check your reviews, dude. Anyway, so Brett Eisner, director of The Crazies, it looks like he's in final negotiations now to do Escape from New York. No star at this point. He is working from one of the scripts that has been written over the years. Alan Leob's script is the one he's finally going with. Jonathan Mastow of Terminator 3 had written a script at one point. So this thing has been going on forever. So it looks like it's actually going to happen. I hate them for doing this.
I think it's going to be McConaughey.
McConaughey.
Snake. Call me Snake. Yeah. It's going to be fantastic. He'll be there with his shirt off the entire time.
Well, you know how skin tight Snake's shirt was in the first one anyway. I don't think there's much difference. But anyway, the point is that it's going ahead. And all I can hope, though, is that they really do change the year. Because Escape from New York was set in 1999.
97.
No, started in 97. Crime rate rises in 97.
I'd like to see
that. The Escape is 1999.
I'd like to see him running around in that whole futuristic outfit. Call me Snake. I'm walking here, you fucking jerk off. What are you doing?
It's just got him running around Lower East Side Harlem.
Looking for a caniche. Is anyone
seeing? All right, last two, and then we're going to finish
It'll
up.
Be Escape from New York.
Last two, and we're going to finish up entertainment news. These are two quickies. First of all, if you've been waiting for the new Daniel Craig James Bond film, stop waiting. The film has been, production has ceased at this point because MGM is in bankruptcy and they're in financial woes. Now, this is nothing new. MGM has basically been in bankruptcy four or five times in the last decade and a half, and they're eventually always bought. But the point is that they are suffering at the moment, so Bond 23 has been suspended. Barbara Broccoli and Michael J. Wilson, producers, have basically said, It's not happening at this point. We're stopping everything. And hopefully one day we might see something out of them. My suspicion is it will go ahead.
I don't understand how so many shit films can get made and then something that... Okay, look, the last one didn't exactly set the world on fire. But, you know, they're better than 90% of the fucking movies out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and look... My suspicion is this, and I was talking to Ben on the movie night on Thursday, and he was saying, what do you think of this? And I said, well, quite frankly, I was talking to Brandon, and he was saying, and I said, look, quite frankly, I still think this film will go ahead, because Sony Pictures has a stake in this now, because they helped produce Casino Royale. Mm. I think what's going to happen is that Sony will buy the rights outright, because they've got the money to do that, and Sony will produce this, because they know a cash cow when they see it. Mm. Quantum of Solace, like it or not, made $500 million at the box office.
See, that's why I don't understand. It's like, okay, you're in trouble, okay, you know, you got to spend money to make money, and... This is probably the
This
most
would be the answer to MGM's problems. Yeah. But you know, and they've got an Academy Award winning director signed on, Mendes, and they've got Daniel Craig already signed on, sets are already starting to be built. All Sony has to do is come in and say, here's a check, let's get on with this, you know?
Here's a take a walk.
Yeah, take a walk, move on. This is what they did with Spider-Man. Spider-Man was embroiled in legal battles for 15 years or something like that, and Sony finally came along with a big fat checkbook and paid everyone off.
Yeah.
And basically said, let's just clear all the air right now. Here's a check for you, here's a check for you, here's a check for you, let's get into production, you know? And Spider-Man went on to be a huge hit. Sony does this sort of shit. So I think Bond will still go ahead. I think this is temporary. And I think the reason why they've come out with this press statement is Barbara Broccoli and Michael J. Wilson are hoping that people are listening.
Yeah.
And they're hoping that somebody goes, oh, really? So that's what I think.
Or somebody buys the franchise off them.
Yeah, well, oh, yeah, something. I think Eon Films owns the franchise. They're looking for a distributor. All it takes is one of the big companies to come along and say, we'll take it.
We have money. Here you go.
Yeah, it would also mark the end of a, 30-year collaboration? Because every James Bond since the beginning has been released by UA MGM.
Mm.
So it'd be the end of an era, basically. Mm. But it would still be...
If you go to Platinum Dunes, they'll make it better.
Oh, he went there. He went there. All right, guys. It's sad news. Last one, and then we're going to move into this review. Last piece of news. Josh, hold it up for us. Can you do it as well? Can anybody else do it? Who can do it? Whoop, where is my camera? There we go. Leonard Nimoy, live long and prosper. All right, Leonard Nimoy,
respect,
as we know, is the
boobs
absolute Mr. Spock. He is the Mr. Spock of the ages. And this is the first time for our chat room in there, Geek Actually, has ever managed to get nudity into the chat room.
What particularly grabbed you about
that? He shoots
picture?
Nudes. This is Leonard Nimoy has actually spent the last couple of decades actually being a photographer, and this is what he does when he's not in front of the camera or directing films. He photographs naked
women.
He's a
very awesome looking man. He's like Michael Ironside awesome. He's like got the stern
he's got
face
such a good face.
Ironside is awesome.
Yep.
So yes, Leonard Nimoy has actually come out in a statement. I threw the piece of paper away before I actually read it. He came out in a statement basically saying, I want to get off the stage. Also, I don't think it would be fair to Zachary Quinto. He's a terrific actor. He looks the part, and it's time to give him some space. And I'm very flattered the character will continue. I've been doing this professionally for 60 years. I love the idea of going out on a positive note. I've had a great, great time.
And all I can see is that while that's being read out, it's a slightly fat man sitting in his room going, Denny Green. I'm in the next Star Trek. Yes.
Yes.
And I also see about, you know, sort of probably this happening in probably about 50% of geek households. There'll just be some lone little crying fat guy sitting in the corner with just tears running out of his
eyes.
One tear, yeah.
One tear, because Vulcans don't show him.
Yes, as Brad
sitting there
out.
Taking the ears off and putting them down.
And getting the new Zachary Quinto models. All right, so Leonard Nimoy, live long and prosper. Thank you very much for all your time. And your photos are interesting, sometimes quite disturbing. But
cool.
Anyway, we'll move on from there. We're going to get into our film review. This week, we are talking Hot Tub Time Machine, the new comedy by Steve Pink, director of the Justin Long comedy Accepted. I don't know if any of you have seen Accepted, which was moderately amusing. The film was written by Josh Heald, Sean Anders, and John Morris, and stars John Cusack, Craig Robertson, Rob Corddry, Clark Duke, Lizzie Kaplan, Lindsay Fonseca, who's the actress we were trying
yep.
to remember, Crispin Glover, and Chevy Chase. Although saying starring Chevy Chase is kind of a odd feeling because he was really not there. But anyway, we'll come back to that in the review.
Yeah, well, you know, he hasn't been there for about 2 decades.
I've made the synopsis really easy. What can I say? It's about four dudes who hop in a hot tub that transports them back to relive 1986 and hilarity ensues. What else is there to say? That's the plot.
That's nothing. That's what you'd get on the back of a bad 80s comedy anyway.
That's the plot, man. So let's have a look at the review. Let's have a look at the trailer. Once again, I throw it to the chat room. You have a choice. I have the red band trailer or the clean trailer.
Red band.
I say red band.
Why would you give us that choice? The other trailer is terrible.
It is.
Red band.
Red band. All right, here we go.
Hey, why didn't we just go to Pinnacle? It would have taken like half the time.
Because Pinnacle is the Snow Hill equivalent of a gay bar.
Do you want to go there now? Because it's on the way. We could drop you off. Hey, pull over.
Believe me, you want to be hitting Kodiak Valley, especially at your age. Trust me, Jay.
Nobody gets carted and everybody gets laid.
Streets are paved with wet vaginas.
Sounds gross.
Fuck you.
Yes, I would like to get a hooker to fuck me and my friends.
What?
Whatever, semantics. I want an escort to escort our penises into her vagina.
Should do four? What about three?
Yeah, $3,000.
Okay, Jacob, you're out. I need $3,000.
Oh, I'm not here.
I mean, what the fuck? What else are we gonna do, huh?
What the hell?
Guys, come look at this. We got a hot tub.
I want a toast to the good time.
What the hell happened last night?
Guys!
Nobody wants to see your giant shit, Lou.
Get the fuck in here right now!
We're not gonna run into ourselves. We are ourselves.
Why are we in our young bodies and you in your regular body?
Yeah. Shouldn't you be invisible or swim around some guy's ballsack?
I know!
I don't understand how we back in time!
I'm so scared. Come on, I really gotta be the asshole that says it.
Must be some kind of hot tub time machine.
Watch out, here I come.
We can beat this thing. We gotta do exactly what we did 20 years ago.
I'm married now. I can't go around banging chicks.
It's 1986, Nick. You can't cheat on somebody you haven't met.
Are you crying?
No. Hell no, baby. Swallow splashing my face from all the fucking...
There's money to be made here, man. We should be setting ourselves up. Like fucking Marty McFly in that shitty Back to the Future where he stole that sports almanac.
The stealing.
You're stealing from me right now, from my happiness.
Tonight, I'm gonna find myself a sexy ski instructor, and I'm gonna wax this fucking pole.
Mom?
Later, homos.
Hot tub time machine.
What she means is that she works at the ski rental place. Right, and that's her job, is cleaning the poles.
I could be off, but I think it's in reference to blowing a dude.
Get tubbed this March and see more at kicksandpass.com.
All right, so that was the completely un-PC trailer for Hot Tub Time Machine. All right, I'm going to start us off and just basically say that I am probably the one person in this room right now who almost had to be dragged kicking and screaming to this film. and I have to say that it actually wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I don't think it is brilliant. I think it is very amusing, though. And I think, though, that the one thing that I actually did come away from this film was it was a real time capsule from my age. Mm. When this film is set in 86, I was 18 years old. This was exactly what me and my friends were getting up to when we were 18 years old. Mm. In fact, I even remember going up to the snowfields and getting blind drunk and hanging out laying in the snow while we were stoned off our heads. So, yeah, a lot of this actually resonated very, very clearly with me. And I think they nailed the 80s really, really well.
Absolutely.
All right, so, and I would say, you know, before we get into spoilers and everything, I'll just give you my roundup straight off the bat, and I'll say that I actually didn't mind it. I thought it was okay. It was fun. It's a little bit like Chinese food. You kind of eat it, and then you're hungry half an hour later. This film really doesn't stay with you. There's not a lot there to stay with you. It just kind of...
In the words of that trailer we played ages ago, lines of dialogue that will be quoted by douchebags for years to come. There are a lot of those in this film.
Yeah, definitely.
There are scenes of genius. There are scenes where I laughed out loud hard and long, you know what I mean? And there are other scenes where I sat there and went, oh, that doesn't work. But in scattershot comedy, which is what this is, they rely on, like, firing a shotgun. Some jokes will hit, some jokes don't. The ones that don't hit, they hope you're still laughing from the one that was already fired.
Or you're still, you know, you're not going to lose interest.
Like, no, that's right. So, and as scattershot comedy goes, it's actually one of the better films to come out
recently. This
reminded
me heaps in feel or tone. It was like a Harold and Kumar. That was the direct feeling that I got for it. It was like, if Harold and Kumar went to the 80s, this was the type of shit that I was
Although I actually thought Harold and Kumar was funnier.
I
will agree with you, but I'm probably on my own here in thinking that this film was, you know, I'm not going to say my usual greatest of all time, but I really did enjoy it. Maybe it was because, you know, there's not much age difference between you and
I. Well, absolutely.
So, you know, there is that whole 80s vibe. The music was just fucking
Except
spot
I've
on.
Got one criticism on that, though, which is when he sings the modern song. That scene really annoyed
me.
I loved
one of the people that was at the Geek Actually Club turned over to me and said, really, out of all the songs you could have picked out of a modern generation, you're going to pick that?
It had such a rockin' soundtrack for those who, like, you know, were having that time capsule of the 80s. I would rather have them stuck with 80s songs.
But
you know?
I think it was more of the fact that what they were trying to do, and I mean, they illustrated it in the trailer, was the whole... It was the kind of movie where it's like there's all of these... Well, what I took away from it was everyone was just sitting there like, you know, in these comedies, it's like, oh, you shouldn't do that. Or like Back to the Future, don't step on an ant because you'll change the future. And this guy's like, fuck that shit, man. I'm getting paid. I'm doing whatever I can. You know, like just taking... For me, it was just a complete parody of what McFly did in the first Back to the Future
film. I think it was a real throwback to that kind of 80s style of movie, anything time travel. And yeah, I did like the fact... One of probably the takeaway things I liked so much was the fact that they just... They did that typical kind of early 80s. No one was really smart enough to... understand the bit. Like nowadays we take for granted that everyone's had that conversation where we talk about how unrealistic X pop culture references or whatever. Back in those days we just accepted whatever was on screen, and like as you were bringing up weird science or something like that, just ridiculous explanations.
But we went with it.
Things.
We went along for the ride.
And I love the fact that they're just so easy, like they come up with these explanations to justify it in their minds that just make no logical sense.
Well, I think Dave nailed it on the head while we were talking before the movie, before the show, was that you know, this really does feel like a John Hughes film. You know,
it has that kind of formula.
You know,
it
follows that 80s formula.
I mean, for me personally, it was great to see John Cusack, also known as Brad from Movie Fan House or whatever fucking gay name you're calling yourselves now. It was nice to see him. I mean, look, it was a sleepwalk role for him. You know, it's not like he had to, you know, work hard at it. It was like, I'm channeling myself from 1980.
And yet, though, it was one of the better things that he's done in the last 10 years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It was that scene where he's sitting there after the breakup and he's been stabbed in the eye and he's sitting there on every drug you can possibly imagine. writing, what was it, breakup poetry?
That was awesome. He was such a fag throughout the thing. You're just like, oh, like it wasn't like High Fidelity where I wanted to strangle him every second that he was on screen. It was just like that endearing idiot at the same time.
Yeah, I loved High Fidelity too.
I hated him in that.
If you remember back to the 80s, Dave, you're same age group as me, he played the hangdog character in all those films, and that's exactly what he's emulating here. He's gone. In fact, that's a perfect, it felt like a Savage Steve Holland film. It felt like Better Off Dead, One Crazy Summer. It felt exactly like a film by Savage. In fact, there was actually a reference. Did you hear that one reference?
Yeah.
When they're in the snowfields and that one guy in the background goes by and goes, I want my $2.
I think maybe that's why I took a little bit more away from this than you guys, because it was it reminded me of the comedies that I grew up with when I was a teenager and I was watching these stupid movies, you know. This brought it back. I mean, I can't remember his name, but I love the black guy. I don't care what he's in, he plays the same fucking
Craig
character.
Craig Robertson,
and he just nails it every time. The little geeky kid also.
I was going to bring him up. Clark Duke.
He was in Kick-Ass, as you know. He's been in a
Sex
TV
Drive.
Series. He's been in a TV series called Greek, which has been out for a while in the States, all about fraternities and stuff like that. And he plays this young Christian soldier type, you know, onward Christian soldiers type character. And it's great to see he's like got that.
But he was the best thing in Sex Drive. I mean, Sex Drive, he was a killer. And that's where I first saw him.
Yeah.
And I went, who is this kid? I love him, you know?
No, he's great because he can go both ways. He can either play that I'm a total sleazebag, but I look innocent, or I am that pure innocent sort of thing, which is kind of what he came across here. But as much as you guys love Crispin Glover, I thought that the scene stealer was Rob Corddry. I mean, he is just... I've loved him in The Daily Show. I loved him in Harold and Kumar Go to G-Bank.
See, I think in this film, he actually went too far in places. But there are moments of sheer... Like Josh was saying, when he first sees the kid in the car.
Oh, yeah.
That reaction is brilliant.
when he is playing that standardized asshole, he just plays it so well.
Oh, he's great.
To weigh in just for a moment, I just want to get out there because, like, everyone knows that I'm not a huge comedy fan. I actually did not like probably the last 15 to 20 minutes of this film. I felt that it all just fell apart very messily, and we're definitely not going to continue on talking about it. But just as one reference, in the same way that I felt. You don't know?
Don't do it.
Don't do it. All right, fine.
We have a moratorium on a certain film.
Don't open that because I'm opening it.
We have a moratorium. Like some movies of its type, like just comedies-wise, nothing more, in some films, I just felt that the ending felt like they hadn't actually kind of come up with a decision on what they were going to end it. And I felt that a lot of the jokes would just kind of be like, 2 second lines or comedy or a piece of dialogue that would keep me going through that last bit. I actually kind of lost.
See, in the case of the unmentionable that you're not mentioning, I kind of agree with you. But with this film, I actually accepted the ending because it was John Hughes formula, 80s formula style filmmaking, and that's
it missed. It missed the point in the fact that I don't like the fact that those movies of those generations would finish up happy with kind of usually a small
and simple...
Wow,
the cynic doesn't like a happy ending.
I know.
No. I'm actually saying the complete opposite. I like the happy endings. What I don't like is you would usually wrap things up and actually give it some form of moral to the end of it, you know, right. Or just like the fact that they've all gone and hung out and that they're all really detached from each other and that, you know, they as a group... are sort of friends, but they haven't seen each other for ages, and they really kind of hate each other because, you know...
And they make mention of that as well. Yeah.
Exactly. And then just no resolution to that, and basically the moral at the end of the film is, if you get money, everything becomes okay. And I was just...
The moral of the 80s.
Greed
is good.
Yeah, I totally disagree with you on this, Johnson. I mean, look, to be honest, I don't think of it anywhere near as deeply as you did. For me, it's like a comedy, so, you know, I don't need things like continuity or even to make sense, as long as I laugh and to be honest, the ending is exactly what I would have done.
And look, that scene with Lizzie Kaplan, which was actually one of the scenes that somebody else who was at the screening with us actually criticized heavily, was I just thought was a joy, which was where they're sitting in that kitchen, sitting on the counter, talking to each other, and all I could think in my mind was, this is 16 Candles. I mean, this is that shot with them facing each other, with the thing in the middle between them and 16 Candles' birthday cake. I can't remember what they had in the middle here. But and then in 16 Candles, they lean in and kiss each other. Right, but in this one, of course, they're too far away from each other. So he grabs her and drags her to him. And you've got that squeaking sound of her thighs on the counter. it's like it's just terrific stuff. You know, it was that completely all the way through it. Even going so far as the scene that made everybody seem to cringe, which was where she leans into him and says, "You know, what is it? Maybe we'll meet in another life or something like that." That is straight out of a Hughes film. You know, it's straight out of a Hughes film.
I get it. Like, you and I are on the same wavelength, even though, as I said, I liked it a lot more than most people.
He liked it a lot more than I did. I mean, I can see its faults, and I can look at it and go, it didn't work completely for me, and I thought it was actually, as an overall package, I actually thought it was above average, but it was still in that average kind of area. It did make me laugh in a lot of places, but I can understand exactly what they were going for, you know?
Because it's interesting, though, because, like, we haven't actually got to the bit where we said what we thought about the film. I will say what I said to someone we were having a conversation with when we went and screened and saw it, is that I turned around to them and after many an arguments over, you know, what we thought and stuff, I actually ended up defending this film.
Mm.
Yeah, which...
Yeah, he did,
find,
actually. I was
which
there.
Which you would find strange. But when I was walking home, I was like, I'm sorry, but this is a stupid comedy. And no, as in stupid comedy, as in like quote-unquote. Like, it's one of those comedies where you do have to disengage brain, and you can't expect much out of it because it's silly fun. It's little encapsulated funny bits stuck into a film and then slapped a front and end on it.
Dude, it's not a fucking documentary. And this is the one thing that, you know, from the people you were watching the film with who will not be mentioned on this show. But, you know, it's just like you can't expect continuity in this sort of film. You can't expect anything deeper than, you know, a millimetre.
If you scratch the surface, there's nothing
there.
There is nothing under the surface.
It is just a simple laugh fest. And look, they could have gone just for straight boob gags and whatever else, and they didn't. You know, I really thought that it was funny. Some of it was,
I thought the dialogue was brilliant. The friend interaction between...
The four of them work so well
and
together.
And just those little friend conversations that I actually have with my friends where you're in the middle of an actual, like, brutally honest argument and then someone just corrects you on grammar and then everyone else agrees with them and it just falls into chaos because you're like, I'm trying to make a point here. Yes, all right, you're right. I understand what you're saying. That sort of stuff.
We call that derailing.
Yeah, no, I've never had to deal with that before.
Nah, never. All right, let's go around the table for opinions on this film. Shane didn't see it, so he's sitting out. Dave, would you recommend it to a friend?
I would, if you're a fan of The Daily Show at all and Rob Corddry, which is probably the angle that I'd push it on people. All I would say to them is one line, which is, I want to finger them with my penis. And if they laugh at that line, then I'll sit there and go, see this fucking movie.
Or in reference to the black guy's penis, it looks like Gary Coleman's arm. My favorite line in the film. Anyway, Josh, would you recommend it to a friend?
To any of my lowbrow friends, the kind of person that would enjoy this kind of humor, definitely. To any of the ones that are more into the art house and sort of, you know, films that will not give you a laugh, or non-comedy fans like myself, it's going to be a bit of hit and miss. I would rent it on video. But anyone that just wants to go for a stupid laugh, definitely go see it.
Okay, and I would say that if you are willing to disengage your brain, if you are willing to not think about it, not scratch the surface, as we would say, if you're willing to just go along and have a bit of fun, then you could do a lot worse than this movie.
And if you like massive Red Dawn references.
Yes, absolutely. And I was about to say, and then the subnote to that is, if you're in our age bracket,
yeah,
and you were a teenager during the 80s, I would actually say you're going to get a lot out of this film, because there hasn't been a film that has been this nice a time capsule to the 80s since The Wedding Singer.
Look, it definitely had one of the best soundtracks out there.
Oh, it's great.
I
want the soundtrack.
Were absolutely priceless. As I said, I went with Suze, and Suze and I are kind of the same age bracket and sort of, we're on the cusp as well. And I thought it was priceless, man. As I said, not the best film of all time, but
funny.
But funnier than other films that won't be mentioned.
That's right. So, yeah, okay. We're going to have a really, really, really quick spoiler section just in case there is anything you want to get out. I don't have any need for spoilers, I don't think. I think I've said everything I want to say about it.
I just have two scenes I want to bring up that I felt went just drop that little line over.
I know
funny.
The scene you're going to talk about.
One scene in particular I just thought could have dealt without the second part of it was the bit where they make a bet on a particular sporting event which gets changed because of something they did.
Because of the butterfly effect.
And they end up having to have a situation where the black guy gets sucked off by, what was his name?
Corddry.
Corddry. And like, that scene in itself was actually really funny and really cringeworthy, and I was okay with that. This scene after where he wakes up in the bathroom and the dude has soap all over his face and he goes on this long rant of explanation as to thing.
It just fell flat.
Didn't like that. The other thing was with the amount of lead up and how awesome the joke was already set up with Crispin Glover's arm. And basically the fact that even just before it, they still give you for one more go. They basically pull it back one more time and then hit you with it. And basically the arm comes off and Rob Corddry is fantastic in that
scene. His
reaction
is brilliant.
His reaction is just so horrible that it's fucking hilarious. But where the dude threw up on him, I actually stopped laughing because I was just like, oh, come on. It was funny enough.
And that was actually my problem with a lot of the humor was when the humor struck and struck well, it was incredibly funny. Mm-hmm. When they tried to drag a gag out, that's where it kind of.
You
it's
need
like,
to watch more Archer and more Blue Mountain State.
I love Archer. I've seen Archer.
With all of the filth.
But Archer.
No, it wasn't the filth. It was the fact that they milked the gag too far.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I've been indoctrinated by Family Guy for that. I've got a much higher level of tolerance.
That's like, as an example, the scene where Cordray is sleeping with the sister at the end. Yeah. And I sat there and go, okay, it's kind of funny, some of the build up to that and everything else, but then it went on too long.
Yeah, in the trailer it was kind of funny because it just showed, you know, the before and then the after and her saying, I feel pregnant. In the actual movie, it's got this really elongated
extended
thing
sequence
with them all standing in the room and the kid disappearing and them, you know, giving basically, I don't know, like, you know, almost saluting each other and going, you do what you gotta do. And then the guy standing outside, you could have cut, like, quarters out of that dialogue and it would have been really
funny. But
then
again, I guess considering the film is only like 80 something minutes long already, you don't want to cut much more out of this film. I will put one sub note as well though, that Lindsay Fonseca, mamma mia. Is this girl gorgeous? She's the girl from Kick-Ass
as well. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's the girlfriend that stabs him in the face with a fork.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
She's
also
in How I Met Your Mother. She's the she's the daughter at the beginning of the show.
Of course she is. Yeah. I watch that series every week. Of course she is.
The black guy's reaction to when she comes in for the first time and sees her.
I don't remember her being so tight.
She's so very tight. So good.
Some good moments. And also, some of the other people who came to the screening with us actually criticized her as well, but I really liked Lizzie Kaplan as well.
I love Lizzie Kaplan. She's
an oddball, and I like that about her.
She was basically playing the same character she played in Mean Girls that she's played in True Blood.
True Blood,
she
yeah.
was always like that just kind of mega hot Zooey Deschanel.
She's like Zooey Deschanel light.
With that little edge to her. And I've always liked Lizzie Kaplan. I think she's a quality actress. She doesn't have, you know, much range, but, you know, she works.
But she's charming, and that's the trick.
And makes up for a lot. As I said, I enjoyed this a lot more than I was expecting to, because I was walking in.
I think it was
waiting for a train wreck.
I think it was Adam Quigley on / Filmcast who actually said that this film was funnier than it deserved to be. And I think that's a really, really interesting comment. And I think you said something very similar to that as well.
Because it shouldn't have been.
You watch that trailer and you go, this should suck.
Yep.
And it actually doesn't suck.
Unlike other films that do.
All right, we're not getting into that. Now, one last thing before we move on from this, because we're actually reaching the end of the show, is Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
What the hell?
The guy hasn't acted. I don't know.
He's in Community at the moment, which
Chuck
is a series.
Fans, like, seriously, he was in the entire second season, and he looked like he'd rolled out of bed and just go over Clark Griswold,
He's mildly amusing in the television series Community, starring Joel McHale.
Yeah,
And he's mildly amusing in that. But once again, he's just doing Chevy Chase, and apparently they wrote the character in the film, but the rumor has it that all of his stuff is ad-libbed. He basically just walked in and just said whatever he wanted to say, basically, and it feels that way.
We call that the Gary Busey effect.
Yeah. And you just kind of sit there and go, what the hell? We didn't need the character, and there was no resolution to the character.
And, well, why the fuck? I mean, that was probably the only bone of contention. I was like, who the fuck is he, and why is he? I'm going to be the wizened old man. I mean, was he meant to be like Doc Brown or whatever?
As I say, we never got any explanation for the character.
The only scene that I did think was kind of funny was when he is talking to the kid, and then, like, the kid looks to, you know, the very mashed out of his head John Cusack, and then looks back and he's just in the window for like 1 second, Dawn, and then disappears. And I was just like, that's good. I like that.
Alright, I think we'll bring this to a conclusion, guys. I think we've beaten that to death.
Yep.
Start again. A little bit of housekeeping. Housekeeping?
No.
No. A little bit of housekeeping.
Holy crap.
Like half the time.
Hi, Dave.
Shush. Stop that. Hit a key by accident. All right. A little bit of housekeeping. Very, very short on this. We'll keep this very nice and short. If you agree or disagree with anything we say and you want to leave us some feedback, you got two options. One is to send us email, which is feedback@geekactually.com. Or the other one is you can call and leave a voicemail. The number is a Sydney number, 02-8011-3167. I put that number up on screen now in case anybody wants to write that down for our chat room. You can buy Geek Actually merchandise like T-shirts and mouse house mats and all that sort of stuff at cafepress.com.au/geek, actually. And I will just put out a request because we seem to have stalled. And so I'll just a little request. If you are an iTunes subscriber, please leave some feedback. We would love to have more feedback on there. That feedback helps us go up the ranks. We are almost regularly featured in the Australian store's featured pages now. It'd be nice to just go up. Up. We just want to go up now. All right. We have another show that we also want to promote on our, on their network, which is Platforms.
Yep.
Now, I don't actually have a slide. I thought I That's had a okay. slide for Platforms. Fine. Anyway, I'm going to start this to you guys for Platforms. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, Platforms is going to be great this week. Dave isn't there. He's off.
I love the way you put that. Platforms is going to be great this week. Dave isn't there.
I'm sorry. I may be a little bitter because the bastard is flying over to Paris and I'm stuck here. Not being in Paris or seeing any of the amazing
Far be it for me to rub it in that this is my third trip in 6 weeks.
Yeah. Anyway, so this week it will be Splinter Cell Conviction, will be the game. It's going to be an interesting one and an interesting opinion section, at least for me. I've been having quite a few conversations about my thoughts on this game, and I'll be interested to see what Nacho thought, who is going to be our guest for this week.
He seems to be Dave's regular doppelganger.
He is the fill-in for Dave. He is Dave Light.
I give him certain instructions which he chooses to ignore every week.
That's why I like him.
Which is the main one is interrupt Josh as much as humanly possible.
Yeah, he doesn't do that.
No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't.
I think that reviewing this week's show, we may find out if Nacho is on the show in the future or not. Depending on whether or not he can actually, you know, adhere to certain
instructions. Nacho, we love you. If they kick you off platforms, you come over here. Okay. All right. So, what's the film? Sorry, I completely phased out. What was the game?
Splinter Cell Conviction.
Splinter Cell Conviction. So, Shane's going to have a word
with
in
a
there.
Dose of iron side.
You're going to throw in your two bits on that one, Shane?
I will bring Shane's two bits with me.
Splinter Cell, yeah.
Yeah,
Shane can type the shit out of what he wants.
Fair enough. All right. Now, if you are a listener of the network of regular listeners, you would have already heard this, but I will mention it one more time, which is, of course, Geek Actually Tech has finished, and we have moved everything to this show. So if you have any tech wants or anything like that, you can just plant them over here. This is where we are now. And last but not least, we have two shows that we just like to plug very, very quickly. First of all, in our chat room is Big Bad Brad from the moviefanhouse.com. And I even have a slide for you. There
with
you
their
go.
Podcast, Movie Fan House.
Now, okay, Brad, clarify this for us, please, because I already sent you a voicemail, which I don't know what happened with that voicemail, by the way, guys. That wasn't a matter of Australia. That was over Skype. That was just terrible. But Movie Fan Cast, really?
Yeah,
more
sorry,
like
guys.
Movie Fag Cast. Yeah. Yeah. So, take that, Jesse.
Brad, we love you guys to
but
bits.
It's Movie
and
Fan
all,
House.
But it's Movie Fan House is just that's what it is, dude. And it's like it's sad because when I say it, it's like I cringe every time.
Movie Fan Cast
I love you,
makes
man.
You feel
really
like
do.
Like you know you're a geek who's in traction.
All right, I tell you what we're gonna do on this. Brad, stick around. We're going to get you in on the after show, and you can come and defend it, all right? So stick around. We'll Skype to see you. We'll get you on in about 10 minutes, all right? And then we'll get you on, and you can defend the name change, all right? All right, so that's the Movie Fan House. You can find it at moviefanhouse.com, or you can search for it on iTunes. Oh. It is movie reviews by fans for fans. The other one we want to talk about is those absolute tequila-fueled
maniacs
over at Real Junkies, which is R-E-E-L, Junkies Podcast. You can find it on iTunes, or you can go to weekendronan.com. Mm. These guys get blind drunk on tequila and review films. It's actually a lot of fun to listen to. And once again, we are going to get a crossover show going at some point. We're still trying to figure this out. We got the Skype. I don't know what's happening at that end. So, when they stop seeing double from the tequila, maybe we'll be able to actually hit the start button.
Pressing buttons could be difficult for those guys.
But we love them all the same, and we're going to get them either on this show or we're going to go on their show, one of the two. All right, but in the meantime, we're going to get out of here. Stay tuned at the end of this show, after the music. Little Geek is coming in. He's got his own show now, and he recorded it yesterday. It's going to be tagged on the end of this show. So after the music, have a listen to Little Geek. That's for the audio listeners. For the video people who like to watch stuff, it'll be on YouTube, hopefully by this afternoon. We'll put the link in geekactually.com. Where can we find out more about you guys? Dave.
You can find out more about me at davegoestoparisswithoutjosh.com. the URL is bitterpill. No, you can find me, obviously, on occasionally guest starring on this show. You can find me at Platforms, or you can friend me on Facebook, which is just Dave Kazicki at Facebook, or the best blog, which has never been updated in the last year, called Feel the Awesome.
Now, can you actually spell this out for us? Because I actually tried to find it the other day.
It's Feel the Awesome with a hyphen in between.
A hyphen, yeah, got that part.
At blogspot.com.
AT or the at symbol?
Hold on, I'm going to...
Or is it dot blogspot?
I will put it dot.
Dot blogspot.
Dot blogspot.
So
dot
I'm putting
com.
The URL on the sure. feed right now.
Okay, so in the chat room, you'll get that feed. And Josh, where can we find out more about you?
Platforms fan page, writings on Geek Actually, and I don't know, my own Facebook, if you want, Joshua Philpott.
Fair enough.
Wow, we actually gave that one out.
Wow, and Josh. Shane... You've been very quiet, but how can people find out more about you, those who are hanging out in the chat room?
I just go to Facebook and type my full name, Shane Robert Gregory.
Fair enough. That's it. Shane Robert Gregory. And, of course, you can find out more about me. You can either go to geekactually.com or you can go to davidmcveigh.net. You can find out more contact details there, find out all the things about me. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. We've got a Facebook fan page, which is where you can find out more about the unofficial Geek Actually Movie Club, which meets every Thursday night for the new release. This week is Iron Man 2, which is also our feature review for next week.
Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of people at that one.
Absolutely. So in the meantime, though, we're going to get out of here because I'm hot. We need to open the windows, get a drink, and then we'll be back for the after show for the chat room in about 10 minutes. But in the meantime, go see more movies. You don't see enough movies. And all of life's questions are answered in the movies. And we will see you all next week. Welcome to Geek Actually's The Little Geek Show.
For the 21st of April 2010, my name is Nicholas McVeigh, the Little Geek.
And I'm David McVeigh, the Big Geek, and this is Episode 1, How to Train Your Dragon. How are you, Nicholas?
I'm good.
That's excellent. So how's your week been so far?
Okay. You know, it's school, so yeah. It's
yeah, good. Well, school's what it is, isn't it? All right, so now that we've got our nice formal opening out of the way...
Yeah.
Why are we here? This is the Little Geek Show. We're here. Yeah. We're finally doing your own show. All right. So now we're on a limited time frame because this show is going out, as you may have noticed by the picture quality, this show is going out for YouTube. And YouTube has a 10-minute limit. So our show is going to be pretty tight. For the audio listeners out there who are listening to this right now and wonder what we're talking about, that is because you can find the show made for YouTube. It will be attached to the end of the Geek Actually show, which is what you're listening to, obviously. But...
if you're on YouTube.
If you're on YouTube, you can also listen to it on the Geek Actually show, which you can find at geekactually.com or on iTunes. Now, this week, what are we talking about?
How to Train Your Dragon.
How to Train... Now, I've got a sidebar ad for this and everything. Look, there you go. How to Train Your Dragon. Now, How to Train Your Dragon, directed by Dean DeBoer... Now, I'm going to massacre this name. I'm sorry. I'm going to massacre this name. Ready? Dean DeBlois, I think, or DeBlois? DeBlois? I'm not sure. Anyway, Dean DeBlois, we'll say, and Chris Sanders. Now, they are the directors who made... Lilo and Stitch, the Disney cartoon a while ago.
I used to love that show.
Now, you used to watch the TV show, but do you remember the movie that actually came out? Because they actually directed the movie. I don't know if they had much to do with the actual TV show or not, but they directed and wrote the movie. Now, the How to Train Your Dragon film was written by William Davies. Now, here's another one. Do you remember Flushed Away?
Made by
the people who made Wallace and Gromit.
Yep.
He wrote that. And he also wrote Johnny English, the one that had Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean in it.
Remember, he's
the spy.
Yeah.
So he wrote that as well. And it's based on the novel by a person called Cressida Cowell. It stars the voice talent of Jay Baruchel, Gerard Butler, who I love personally, Craig Ferguson, America Ferrara, Jonah Hill, Christopher Mintz-Plasse, I think is how you pronounce his name, Ashley Jensen, and Christine. Kristen Wiig.
Hey, who played the dragon?
The dragon doesn't speak.
No, he says
rawr. I wonder who did the rawr. Anyway, so the plot is pretty simple. I've written down a really simple plot here. So the plot is pretty simple. Vikings who live on the island of Burk live for one thing only, to hunt and kill dragons. The chief's son, Hiccup, is an outsider, not strong or Viking-like in any way. In an attempt to be accepted, he actually manages to catch a dragon. However, he can't bring himself to kill it. Instead, he befriends the dragon named Toothless and starts on a journey of discovery that leads to the realization that everything the Vikings know about dragons is
wrong,
and they are not actually the enemy. And it goes on from there without giving away any spoilers. So, first question we got to ask, what did you think?
I thought it was really amazing.
I thought it was too. I thought it was terrific.
It was actually better than I thought.
Absolutely.
I thought it was just going to be, I don't know, some DreamWorks film.
Yeah, look, and DreamWorks, quite frankly, they've made some pretty lackluster stuff. I mean, I thought Shark's Tale was pretty ordinary.
I thought it was going to be an ordinary, like, Shrek 2 or something.
Yeah, and I got to say that it is the second animated film in a row that has been a complete surprise.
Yeah.
And the first one being Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. And
we just thought from the ad it would just be stupid.
Yeah, I thought Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs was going to be stupid, and it turned out to be a really, really, really funny film that we reviewed on the Main Geek Action Show, and we all loved it. We thought it was really funny.
Coffee break.
And so now along comes this one, and this was another real surprise. And I thought it was heartwarming, and I thought it was charming, and the animation is beautiful, the voice talent is great. Great, really good.
My favorite line in the movie, thanks for nothing, you useless reptile.
Very good. Actually, before we go any further, let's show our viewers a clip from the film. Actually, no, let's show them the trailer for the film to get a feel for it. So this is the trailer for How to Train Your Dragon.
Hope you like it.
Yeah, me too. So it's just loading up here, and here we go.
Welcome to Dragon Training. Today, you will learn to fight dragons.
Pain. Love it.
Let's get started!
You should come by sometime to work out. You look like you work out.
I guess it's just you and me, huh?
No, just you.
Huh? Focus, Hiccup!
Can I transfer to the class with the cool Vikings?
Has anyone ever tried to train a dragon?
No one's ever lived to tell the tale.
It's okay. I'm not gonna hurt you. Let's see if this works. We're gonna take this nice and slow. Come on, buddy. Come on, buddy. Whoa!
Yeah! Get down! Oh!
It's okay. You just scared him.
I scared him?
Everything we know about them
is wrong.
Let me show you.
Either we finish them, or they'll finish us.
Fire! We don't have to fight them.
Whoa, cool.
Go, baby!
All right, we might just cut that right there. So that was just a taste of How to Train Your Dragon. Now, I didn't want to play the whole trailer, of course, because it just eats into time.
Yeah.
And you can find...
And we only have 10 minutes.
That's true. And you can find the high-resolution clip to that trailer on the Apple.com site. Yeah. All right? And we'll also have a link to that in the GeekActually.com show notes. All right? So if you are listening to the audio, you'll be able to find it that way as well. So it gives you an idea of the flavor of this film, though. And it is a lot of fun. So we know your favorite line, but if we were to say, what was your favorite part of this film?
My favorite part would... it's hard to explain it because my favorite part is basically a paragraph. That's what we say at school.
Yep, yep.
And it's like when he's training the dragon, you know, where he's first giving him fish and also when
he flies really nice. Him. And then, he makes the tail fin for him so that he can actually... guide his flight, get him to get airborne. Yeah, that's a really nice part too. I also really like the girl. I thought the girl was a really good character, the Viking girl that ends up fall for each other. I thought she was really neat. I thought there was a lot of nice chemistry between them. So that'd be my favorite character. Well, actually, my favorite character is probably actually Hiccup because I think he's just very funny.
Yeah.
Who is your favorite character?
I don't know.
I also have a soft spot for Hiccup, though. So for the dragon, Toothless.
I like Toothless then Hiccup.
Toothless then Hiccup. Yeah. Okay, and look.
Because Toothless was funny.
Did the film move you? Did it work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did it bring a lump to your throat? Did it bring emotions to you?
Yeah, mainly just at the end because they were being so mean to Toothless.
Mm. Well, I'm not ashamed to admit that it actually brought a bit of a lump to my throat in places. It was really, really charming, and you really felt for these characters. I thought it was a really lovely film. Now, we can't do a CG animated film without talking about its comparison to other CG animated films, obviously.
I hate that, this bar.
So we have to look at it and say, you know, there's been a lot of CG animated films lately, and
I've got to say this.
Yep.
The flying scenes are better than Avatar's flying scenes.
I will actually agree with you. I think this film actually out-Avatar'd Avatar when they finally take flight. And I've actually got a clip here, which we're going to play. Now, we're going to play it without sound so we can keep talking. But we have a clip here of the flying.
Yeah.
And I think this is well worth having a look at. So what you're seeing on screen at the moment is, of course, the scene where he first takes flight with Hiccup, and basically he has control, and he's going for it, and it really is just beautiful the way it is. Now this gives you an indication of how it starts, but when they get airborne and this camera is sweeping around them and everything else, and we look at it and go, it's just amazing, the sense of height.
My favorite flight that they actually had was when he took the girl up.
Yes, that was also really good as well. And there you go, there's one of those really high shots right there where you get that sense of depth of the scene. Now, we have to also say that this film is presented in 3D.
Yeah.
It was made, and its 3D is fantastic.
Yeah.
It is as good a 3D as Avatar.
Yeah.
Or Up. When Up came out, it really is wonderful, wonderful 3D and really wonderful animation.
I could tell you the top two films that make my that make my feet tingle is this one. This is first, and then second is Up, because at the end.
And all the stuff in the height. Well, look, you know, we're out of time.
No!
Yeah, we've reached the end of our time. So we've talked about the 3D experience. I'm going to ask you one final question, and then we're going to get out of here, which is, of course, would you recommend it to a friend?
Yes!
Absolutely. I would recommend this film to anybody, even the adults out there. I'd say if you haven't seen this film because you think it's just a kid's film, go see this film. All right? It is well worth having a look at. You will enjoy it greatly.
Yep.
And I think on that note, I think we're going to get out of here. I'm going to say that if you disagree or agree with anything we have to say, you can send feedback to feedback@geekactually.com, which is our host, our parent company. This is an extension of the Geek Actually podcast, which you can find on iTunes or at geekactually.com. And you can also leave us a voicemail, but you want to know something really funny? I've lost the voice. I've lost the voicemail line. It's in front of you. It's a Sydney number. It's 02-8011-3167. There you go. So that's our voicemail line. If you want to leave a voicemail, we'll play it on the show. As long as it's short. If you leave a 5-minute,
go ahead.
If you leave a 5-minute voicemail, we're not going to play it because we're not going to have time. So anyway, on that note, I think we're going to get ourselves out of here, and we will be back. This show is actually planned to be bi-weekly, so it should be every 2 weeks. And thank you very much, Nicholas. Any last words? How can people find you, by the way?
Oh, go onto YouTube and type in Nikki McVeigh.
Nikki McVeigh on YouTube, and you'll find a whole bunch about Nicholas. And in future episodes, we might even talk about your animation a little bit. All right. Thank you very much, everybody. And we will see you all in 2 weeks.
Bye.